depending upon the help of God. I would direct your mind this morning to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The 35th verse in the 8th of the Acts. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is a great subject, dear friends, as you know, and one feels his inability to approach this solemn and yet blessed scripture, the Word of God, and to preach unto one Jesus. That we are thankful that this man, Philip, we can see that in him there was the grace of God, spiritual discernment, and he was called by God, of God, that he should be at that place at that particular time and to enter into the chariot and to speak and read and preach unto the eunuch. It's a wonderful thing, and we cannot but notice it as we read the scriptures from time to time. It's wonderful how the Lord causes things to dovetail together according to his purposes. In the heart of the eunuch there was life. And he was riding, as we have read, in the chariot, and there was the Word of God. No need for me to say or give any reason why I should read the 53rd of Isaiah, because we have it in this portion, in this chapter, how Philip spake unto him from that very portion that we have read, even of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And he said, how can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Here we see the wonder workings of God. Blessed portion to read, a blessed portion to consider. It has been spoken of, the chapter, as a chapter of chapters. Stands out perhaps more than in any other chapter throughout the all scriptures, from the beginning to the end. The life, the suffering, the death, and what that dear man, the Lord Jesus, passed through for the redemption of many, many poor sinners. Well, let us look for a few moments then has helped. And he preached unto him Jesus. And what was the effect of it? Well, Philip's and the eunuch desired to be baptized. Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, And the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip answered, If thou believest with all thine heart. Dear friends, just a thought here. Can we walk with these dear men? Do we believe with all our heart? Has our heart been changed, as it were, and turned from the things of the world to Christ, that we have been by the Holy Spirit brought to believe with all our heart? What we read in the scriptures and the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Philip said unto him, Thou mayest, if thou believest with all thine heart, nothing to hinder. And he answered, eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have we got as far as that in our belief? Have we been taught, dear friends, by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Many in our former days or years denied it. But we have it very plain, even in the 8th of Proverbs, the very voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there that he was with his Father, and he was his Father's daily delight. True, he is the Son of God. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, how this is proved again and again in the scriptures by the voice of the Father, God the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he answered and said, I believe. And he commanded the chariot stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why I should be led to read or to try and speak from these words today, I know not. But they've been upon my mind this last few days, and preached unto him Jesus. I've had to reply to my master in this. I said, Lord, I cannot. I know so little. But still the word came and came again, and has rested upon my spirit during the night season, preached unto him Jesus. That's where I desire to come, as I may be helped a little today. The words of the Lord Jesus we read in the Gospel of John, wasn't it spoken unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, how true it is. And this dear man, Philip, had known then something of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was able to preach unto him Jesus. During the night season, I thought, what a sermon. What a sermon that must have been. No one would have delighted, as it were, to have heard that sermon. What if it had been left on record? A sermon, no doubt, a deep knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for what he came for, and so on. What a sermon it must have been by Philip as he sat in the chariot and preached. And we can see in these words, dear friends, if I might go back for a moment, how it was with power. With power. We are apt to think at times the Lord only speaks to his people in the house of God, but that's not so. He does speak in the house of God, of course, under the preaching of the gospel at times. But he can speak with that authority and with that power, even as those two sat in the chariot. Not necessary, as I said, to be in the house of God. Sometimes the Lord gives the word of direction, perhaps in the most unlikely place, unlikely spot, when the Lord speaks his purposes, his will to be done. Dear old minister who lived many years ago, and how he was under the law. He felt his case was helpless, no hope of salvation, and he was walking along the country road one afternoon, and he saw a number of people there, and he eventually went up to them, and there was an old farm labourer standing on a dung cart, and he was preaching the gospel. And this dear man is brought to deliverance. The Lord broke in right to his soul and gave him that full assurance that his sins had been pardoned. Dear friends, the Lord can use, as it were, various means to bring his dear people out of darkness into the light, or causing them to obey his command and to follow him in the even ordinances of baptism. So Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And it took place. Yes, the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him, and we understand the dear man went on his way rejoicing. And he preached unto him a Jesus, worthy the name. Is there any other to preach of but Jesus? Dear friends, the fullness resides in him, the head. Fullness resides there. Everything that our poor sinner needs in life, in providence, in grace. Jesus, oh, he is the one to be spoken of and preached unto him, Jesus. The Lord has been pleased to raise up, as you know, down through the ages, those who should preach Jesus. He has chosen them. They were chosen from all eternity. Why the Lord should choose me, I know not. But he has chosen his dear disciples and ministers and prophets to go forth. The word seemed to come to me at this moment, how he spoke unto the prophet Isaiah, to go forth, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And oh, how many times we little know that even that word, that message, has been blessed down through the ages to many, many poor sinners who are travelling along through their pilgrimage to that heavenly place, and preached unto him Jesus. Where can we commence, dear friend? I know not. I came into the pulpit completely helpless, looking, I feel I can say, unto the Lord to give me words to speak this morning, and preached unto him Jesus. There's nothing in Philip. He never spoke of his exercises. He never spoke of the things that he had passed through. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And the poet has said, compared with Christ and all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. And no doubt Philip felt it. Therefore, the first thing he could bring before the eunuch was this, Jesus. And he preached unto him. And I have no doubt that in his preaching on that occasion, it was by the Holy Spirit. Because, as we have read, there was a going forth to obey the commands of God. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry, and as he spoke unto the eunuch, there was a willingness, and they got down out of the chariot, and he was baptized. And again, I'm sure that the sermon preached, as it were, by Philip, was with that unction and power, for we have read that he went on his way rejoicing. Another thought strikes my mind. He never saw Philip again. So we have read, never saw Philip again. But he preached unto him. He had not forgotten Philip. Oh, dear friends, when the Lord is pleased to bless a poor soul under a certain man or any man's ministry, I believe it stands out in one's memory. Well, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, how are we brought first, shall I say, to believe? Every man whom the Lord sends forth in his name to preach, there's the work of the Holy Spirit first. Otherwise, how can he preach Jesus? How can he know anything of the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way to be able to preach him unless he is taught? And as I feel somewhat, I speak with all reverence, there's a lack today of spiritual discernment. There's this lack today of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That the Lord calls his people, his servants, and others to come out of the world. And I believe that out of the spirit of the world. It's wrapped up in those words we've often quoted. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. That's the first step to have anything, any knowledge, as it were, of this dear man, Jesus. As to be brought out, as it were, quickened into life. Know how often we've repeated the words, and you have read it so often, I hope each of us here have experienced it. To be brought through the gate of regeneration and born again, yea, born of the Spirit. That's the first step, I believe, in a way that anybody can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You go, you think of our fellow creatures, where are they? And they come into the text, preach unto him Jesus. Why, they know nothing of Jesus, only in the letter of it, just in the word, but no other, not by the power, not by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Well, we must be then taught by the Spirit to know anything of Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to unveil or reveal the things of Christ. Preached unto Jesus. Previous to this experience, friends, there's no heart to receive him, and there's no ear to hear. We read that in the Gospels, having an ear to hear, and also with Lydia a heart to understand. Otherwise, we cannot understand Zion. We cannot understand, the language of Zion. It's all of the Lord by his Holy Spirit. So he preached unto him Jesus. Can you go back, dear friends, in your life experience? Can you remember the time when you heard the prophet, heard with power? Can you go back to the time when the Lord spake into thy poor heart? If he did, you haven't forgotten it. It remains. It makes a mark. It's in the memory. And you will often look back to those days and those experiences when the Lord spake into thy heart. Preach unto him Jesus. Jesus. And I'm sure if the word has been spoken by the Spirit into your heart, even the name has been made sweet to you. The poet has said, as you all know, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear, soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. What is the name of Christ to us? Can we see something in it that is precious? Why is this salvation? And is there anything more blessed and more precious than even the thought, yea, of dear man, the Lord Jesus? Dear friends, there be no way, no hope, no way to heaven, no hope. Utterly we shall despair. Utterly pain and grief borne within our hearts and souls because of sin. So Jesus is, how true it is, salvation. He is the Saviour of Zion. And he preached unto him Jesus. Well, I often have to come here. I don't know if it is with you as the work begun. Sometimes I'm in much darkness of soul. Seems as if the Lord has completely left me. And I seem so cast down and so on. I know David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of his countenance. He is my God." Yes, true. Very true what David expressed. But then again, when one is left in the dark, when there seems no movement in the heart, well, what do you want then? Why, you say, "I want preached unto me Jesus, the way of salvation." We know not quite what experience this eunuch was in when he was on this way, but in, we believe, the Spirit. He had had life, and he had a desire in his heart, and I believe out of that desire there was an hunger and thirst for Christ. He wanted to know the way to heaven. He wanted to know the truth, and Philip was enabled by the Spirit to preach unto him the truth, which is Jesus Christ himself. So do we know this Jesus? Has Jesus ever been preached, dear friends, from the pulpit, maybe from this pulpit or other pulpits, and the word has been made precious to you? The sense of thy expiring love into my heart convey, thyself bestow, for thee alone, my all in all I pray. Is that your desire? That's Jesus. And he preached unto him Jesus. Previously, dear friends, that they call by grace, what was Jesus? What was the name of Jesus unto us? You know what it is to the world. Nothing at all. no more than any other name mentioned in the Scripture or out of the Scripture. Nothing more. And how many, even today, blaspheme even the name of Jesus. No love to it. Why? Because they are destitute of life. But if you and I have received, as I've mentioned, spiritual life and been taught by the Spirit, there's a love in our heart, and this will bring forth this desire that we might know more of him and hear more of him. Oh, what a mercy. I think I can go back to those days, even in childhood days, when I went to the house of God with an ear open, desiring to hear Jesus. For that was my only hope of salvation. But dark days have come since then. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can we say it? By the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Well, he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. Where do we commence in this as we pass along? Where did Jesus commence? He is the eternal Son of God. Was there a beginning? Well, we know this. That the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, three in one, one in three. And I've no doubt the dear man Philip preached the three. He preached the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can you do, dear friends, without the Father? It's in really our text, because these three are one, one in three, and so on, and we believe it to be so in the Trinity. Well, he must have preached then the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In this way, those two had been called by grace. They're both taught of the Spirit. They'd known the electing love of the Father. They'd known something of the Lord Jesus Christ. And evidently, they were under the influence, both of them, of the Holy Spirit. So we can gather here the three. And Philip preached the three. The three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There was life in the ministry. Life in the sermon that he preached, without a doubt. Because the effect it made upon the eunuch. Therefore, we can say that the three were there. The Comforter was there, the Holy Ghost. And he preached Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and under the influence of them three, and preached unto him a Jesus. Now, I have mentioned a little, dear friends, of the commencement of time. Let us go a little further. What do we know then? Have you ever sat under the ministry and Jesus has been made precious to you? Can you go back to those days when you felt to be under the law, and the law, as it were, stripped you of everything, even of a hope? You felt your case was completely helpless, and there'd be no mercy. Then perhaps you went into the sanctuary, seeking mercy, seeking forgiveness, and you heard a sermon preached, and it was of Jesus. And that raised a hope within your heart that the Lord Jesus had compassion upon you. that you were numbered among the Lord's people, that you was in the covenant of divine grace, that you, your name being written in heaven. I believe I can in some measure, dear friends, and yet it's often tried, and often I'm tempted by that evil one, the devil. Whether anything was right, whether it was of a salvation of my soul. And he praised unto him, Jesus. So can you remember a time when you may have entered into this sanctuary, and it may have been the very subject the poor man preached from, whoever he might have been, Jesus, and it came with a little light and power into thy soul and raised a hope that Jesus had remembered you, that Jesus had loved you, that Jesus was thy God and Saviour. He preached unto him, Jesus, and no doubt he preached unto him those things that he has handled and tasted and felt of the words of truth. Have you then heard with power? Has it been by the unction of the Holy Ghost? He preached unto him, Jesus. I can remember the time, and I might have mentioned this here before, when the first time I was ever brought, shall I say, to a concern about my soul and the matters of eternity. It came into my heart, and what was the first thing I realized? I was a sinner in the sight of God, and he was holy. I have no doubt this came in that a sermon of Philip's, where a poor sinner has been brought to fear this sin and somewhat the holiness of God. This is the way, I believe, that leads unto Jesus. And he preached unto him the way. The way to Jesus. And no doubt in that sermon there was this: by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the very substance of it. I'm sure dear man Philip was never left to deceive the eunuch. And where the preaching is under the anointing of the Spirit, it'll never deceive a poor sinner. It'll show the poor sinner plainly what he is first by nature, and then a little of the holiness of God, and then lead him on to know that there is one who has had compassion upon him. And he preached unto him, Jesus, the way of salvation. And there is but one way, as you know, only one way, dear friends. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said himself, broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many walk therein. But there's a narrow way, and I no doubt Philip preached that narrow way to the eunuch. And that is, I believe, the desire of every servant of God to show forth even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the way to heaven is narrow. Oh, how I felt at times, how narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Therefore, what do we need? A guide. And I don't doubt in Philip's sermon there was the work, yes, and the preaching of the Holy Spirit to guide the poor sinner, to direct the poor soul unto Christ, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that to be so in all sermons, we should guide, direct the poor souls unto Christ, not to himself, not to his own ability, not to his own righteousness, not in the spirit of the Pharisee, but in the spirit of the publican, where he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, then the way from the depth of the fall to hope in his ear of Jesus as being the way of salvation. Oh, how we need, dear friends, one to guide us. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy powerful hand. And this God is a God to direct. And there's no mistake, dear friends, in his wisdom and understanding. There's no searching to his understanding, we read. And how he leads his dear one. Yea, he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. This is the pathway, unknown to us, but revealed by the Holy Spirit. The way is unto Christ. As I've mentioned this morning, give me Christ, or else I die. So we come here, being led along, and brought to a hope in his mercy. And no doubt Philip was unable to preach of the mercy of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus. He preached the old pathway, as it were, of a child of God. From the beginning to the end, without a doubt. From the commencing of the work of salvation and leading the poor soul along, even to walk in the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here again, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Have I one here this morning? Have I one here, perhaps at times, have such thoughts? Can I venture? Dare I venture? Is it of the Lord? Is it only of the creature? Here is water. Dear friends, this command of God is a very simple one, isn't it? Could there be anything more simple? Just water. See, here is water, said the eunuch. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Have I one here this morning? Is there something in your heart in the way of an exercise before God to follow him in the commandments laid down in his word? He says, if he love me, keep my commandments. Here is water. What doth hinder me? What doth hinder me? If you know something of those things I've tried to mention in a very poor way, that is, a knowledge of yourself and prayer at the throne of grace for his mercy, and long to be cleansed and washed, having a real desire for him and a hunger and thirst in thy soul for these blessings that are in the gospel, and how you desire them to be revealed to you and applied with divine power. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And what was the reply? Here again a thought comes to my mind about Philip and the eunuch. Wonder how much they knew of each other. Wonder how much Philip knew of the eunuch. But in his heart he believed in God. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. As if Philip might have said, there's nothing to hinder. The devil will try and hinder you. Your old carnal nature will try and hinder you. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I brought you along a little, dear friends, in a poor way to the mercy I trust that flows through Jesus Christ and his compassion, his love to poor sinners. And I believe this is to be preached I wish I could. And he and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. Well, as you know, Jesus was a man of sympathy. He's spoken of in the Holy Scriptures in various ways, such as the heavenly physician. He preached unto him Jesus as being the physician of Zion. And we have that so many times in the Holy Scripture, especially in the New Testament. Jesus restored life. Even when life was had parted, as it were, had been removed from the body, yet he was enabled, as he looked up unto his Father, to ask that life might be given. And we have that several times in the Scripture. And then there's other cases which he proved to be the heavenly physician. How he healed many poor sinners, had various complaints, afflictions, diseases, and so on. How wonderful he manifested his power in this, and he preached unto him Jesus. And dear friends, this same Jesus can heal your wounds. I believe he has, I trust with some of us, he has, when we've been so wounded and under the festering sores of sin, yet here the Lord has been pleased as the heavenly physician to heal that disease out by pouring in his love, his blood, his grace within the soul. It's Jesus, dear friend, all the way through. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must, said the hymn writer. Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, dear Lord, from thee can we say it. O ye priest unto him, Jesus, needful art thou to make me live. Needful art thou all grace to give. Needful to guide me lest I stray. Needful to help me every day. He preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. And this dear man here, medley. Needful is thy most precious blood. Needful is thy collecting rod. Needful is thy indulgent care. Needful thy all-prevailing prayer. He preached unto him Jesus, the way, the way. Now Jesus, as we all know and believe, that he has passed from this life and now in heaven in glory to hear the prayers, the supplications of his chosen people. He preached unto him as the mediator. Yes, and we would do the same today. Preach unto the people, the mediator, the one that stands between. In garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of us is seen when we approach to God. What a wonderful thing to have, dear friends, one who trod this life, one who came here below, one who passed through the many difficulties as we pass through, and even the temptations of Satan as he went down into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan those 40 days and 40 nights. And we read in Hebrews how he passed that way that he might succor those who should have to enter, and we have entered into those paths without a doubt. Well, what a great God. What a good God. Oh, I wish I could lift him up. I wish I could preach him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Jesus Christ, the mediator, the one that stands, as I've said, between never-dying souls and an holy God. Dear friend, can you do without him? Oh, look at it from this viewpoint. Without Jesus, well, there'd be no way to God. God is as a consuming fire outside of Christ, outside of his dear beloved Son. Oh, we would preach Jesus as the mediator, standing there at all times and ever ready to hear the prayers, the supplications of his needy people, and to present those prayers unto his Father in glory. Preached unto him, Jesus, dear friend, is Jesus precious? Is he precious unto us today? The more we know of self, the more we know of our ruined condition, the more we shall prize salvation. And as we prize salvation, of course, we prize the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I close as I commence. He is the one thing needful. We without him perish must. And what is it to be perished? Out of the sight of the Lord, yea, out of sight of mercy, forgiveness, pardon, into that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What a solemn place to dwell. Well, it's Jesus, dear friend, from the beginning to the end, and that's our only hope of salvation. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.